we're going to be in the book of Joshua. That's where we've been for a couple months now, or better. And so from here on out, we're only going to hit some high spots in the book of Joshua because, you know, we looked at some themes of courage, faith, redemption, sin, holiness, preparing for big moments in life, deception. Last week, we looked at Pentecost Sunday, but also how God equipped Joshua for the task that God had given him and how the Spirit of God equipped him with courage and confidence, wisdom. But then as you get to in chapter 5 of Joshua, Jericho falls. Chapter 8, Ai, the city of Ai falls. Chapter 10, the Amorites fall. That was the Gibeonites. They're the ones that deceived Joshua and Israel. Israel goes to defend them against the Amorites. They fall. And then, so they go to the south. They conquer those cities to the south. And if you look at a map, Chris is going to put a map up there. And you'll see they kind of cross the Jordan River north of the Dead Sea. That's where Jericho was. And then they move south. That was the southern campaign, and then they would push north. That's the northern campaign. Okay? And so you see that in the following chapters. Chapter 11 is the north. They're defeated. And then you get into chapter 12, a list of defeated kings. It's a pretty long list. All right? And then chapters 13 through 21 break down how the land would be divided amongst the 12 tribes of Israel. Okay? Now, there's probably some preaching material in there. But we're not going to hit too much of it. We are going to hit some of it, though, today and then next Sunday. So today we're going to look at the allotment given to Caleb. Have you heard of Caleb? All right. And it's a fitting story to look back on Father's Day. I think there's some application here for fathers. Caleb was a father. He was a dad, yeah, and he was a great man of God. So we're going to look at that. Joshua 14, 6 through 15 is where we'll be at. And let's pray and look at it together. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it is the living word of God that is able to direct us, empower us, equip us for life and ministry, Lord God. We praise you for all that you do. And so, Lord God, make it come alive to us this day. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Chapter 6, verse 6 of chapter 14. There we go. Now the people of Judah approached Joshua at Gilgal. And Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, "You know what the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, at Kadesh Barnea." Okay, if you went back to that map that we showed earlier, that map will show that right at the southern edge of the Dead Sea, if you were to take a line and go straight west to the Mediterranean Sea, that is kind of where the Kadesh Barnea is. So Israel was poised after they got out of Egypt, they crossed the Red Sea, they go to Mount Sinai, they make their trip again across the wilderness, the desert. They are at the southern edge of what is modern-day Israel, and they are ready to go into the Promised Land. And they, in fact, send in the 12 spies from there. Okay? So that's where they're at, Kadesh Barnea. Okay? Verse 7, "I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of God, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land. And I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my fellow Israelites who went up with me made the hearts of the people melt in fear. I, however, followed the Lord, my God, wholeheartedly. So on that day, Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance, and that of your children forever, because you have followed the Lord your God wholeheartedly.' Now then, just as the Lord promised, he has kept me alive for 45 years." So he was 45 years in the wilderness since the time he said this to Moses, while Israel moved about in the wilderness. "So here I am today, 85 years old. I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm as vigorous to go out into battle as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me that day. You yourself heard that the Anakites were there and that their cities were large and fortified, but the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said. Then Joshua blessed Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and gave him Hebron as his inheritance. So Hebron has belonged to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, ever since, because he followed the Lord, the God of Israel, wholeheartedly. That's the third time. And Hebron used to be called Kiriath Arba, but after Arba, who was the greatest man among the Anakites. Then the land had rest from war. Amen. So what do we learn from Caleb in this story? I think there's four things that I want to pull out here, okay? First of all, he lived by faith and not by fear. So 12 men go into this land that they are to conquer, and they see the land. It flows with milk and honey. In other words, it was very fruitful, okay? A lot of things from the field there, right? So there was livestock that were places where the livestock could be raised, but also grapes. There was just a lot of good produce that was there. It was a beautiful land. It was a plentiful land, all right? But there was an issue. What? There was giants. There was people that were very large. Their cities were well fortified and defend. They just had a good defense system in place. And the people there were large, okay? We know that there was reports that some of those people were extremely large. We know that Goliath, and we talked about Og. He was, you know, his bed was just like enormous, right? And so there were people in that area that were extremely large. And so when the spies saw these men, it says that they brought back the report. Yes, the land is great, but the people in the land, we can't conquer them, right? And they caused the Israelites to fear instead of have faith in God. So when the hearts of the other men melted at the sight of the large people and the region they were to conquer, Caleb had faith, along with Joshua, that his God was up to the challenge. You ever had your heart just kind of melt inside of you? Maybe you saw something that's kind of like you ran in fear. That's what happened to these people, and that's what they came back with their report, and it was so negative that the people then failed to trust Moses and his leadership. And because of that, all of them would end up dying in the wilderness over the next 40 years, that whole generation. Joshua and Caleb would be the only people from that generation that would enter into the promised land. The rest would die in the wilderness. These people, their courage and their faith evaporated when they saw the giants in the land and the extent of the task that God had called them to do. So has that happened to you? You see that your heart melts at the sight of that large bill in the mail. That can be a giant sometimes. You have a health result, come back from the doctor and you get the results, and you take a deep breath. Maybe a loss of employment. We've had people lose their jobs for no reason. Or the events you see happening in our world, okay? And when I wrote this, I don't think the thing with Israel had even happened. Now that's happening, right? In fact, when I was coming to church, it was happening again in Israel. Israel was having more attacks, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think courage is the absence of fear, right? It is being able to realize that God is bigger than the things that come against us, and to be able to manage that fear and to put it in its place. And Caleb had that. He saw his awesome God and not the giants in the land before him. Paul said to Timothy, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and self-control." And when we walk with God daily, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I believe we can live and walk by faith. Amen? And you know what, fathers and moms, it applies to both. You know, fatherhood's not for cowards. There's times that you need wisdom, you need strength, you need God's help. And God is going to be faithful as we trust him and we come before him. Amen? All right. Caleb lived by faith and not fear. Secondly, he served God wholeheartedly. Don't you just love that word? It's mentioned three times in our text. He served God wholeheartedly. It means to wholly follow, to follow after the Lord completely, to faithfully obey, to trust fully. That is said of both Caleb and Joshua. They demonstrated it by their actions and by their words. And so they came back with a positive report. They trusted God, even though the enemy and the giants seemed large. They knew that their God was up to the task. They followed the Lord wholeheartedly. Jesus said the greatest commandment is what? Love the Lord your God with all half your heart, all your heart, wholeheartedly, right? With all your soul and with all your mind. And that may seem kind of basic, but out of the 12 men that went in to spy out the land, only two came back with a positive report and trusted God. You know, and I don't know if statistics have changed much. I think there's a lot of people that claim to be a Christian. I think there's a lot of people that they wear that label. But when it comes down to the hard moments in life, they go, well, yeah, I follow God, but the giants are pretty big. Joshua and Caleb followed the Lord wholeheartedly, regardless what was before them. They trusted God. So what does it mean to follow God with your whole heart? I think it means to follow God's word completely, not just the parts we want to. It means to seek God for each day and know his heart. It's allowing our speech, our thoughts, our actions to be in alignment with God and his word. And that's not easy. Can we be honest? We're human beings, and we're constantly being infiltrated by messages from the outside, whether it is on our phones, right? I would say this is the number one contribution right now in our culture. TV, being with our friends, being at work. I've been in some work environments that are pretty, I have to say, God, you need to cleanse my mind because I've just heard a lot of stuff words I shouldn't have been hearing, right? Right? And so to bring our thoughts, our speech, our actions in alignment with God and his word means you can't go with the flow. You have to follow God wholeheartedly. It's not easy, but it is doable with God's help. Amen? God just doesn't want part of us. He wants all of us. He wants us completely, wholeheartedly to follow him. Caleb and Joshua did that. They followed God. Even though the task before them seemed giant-like, they set themselves apart from the rest of the crowd, and God honored them for their devotion. Amen? So, they lived by faith and not fear. They followed God wholeheartedly. Number three, Caleb, he waited patiently for the Lord's promises. Oh, how many of you love patience? Right? How patient are you? How long can you wait for a promise to be fulfilled? Minutes, hours, days, weeks, months? How about years? How about 45 years? That's a long time. And yet, Caleb, in that time, he never failed to trust God. He believed and he waited patiently. In our fast-paced world, we want things now. We hate waiting, right? We're in the line at the fast food place, and if it's not there in less than 5 minutes, we're ready to file a complaint, right? Right? Or we sit, I do at the sit-down restaurant, if it's more than 20 minutes, we're ready to, I'm going to give them a bad grade, right? Man, if Pastor Brent is preaching too long, he went past that time. You'd never do that. I find that often God wants us to wait. Why? Because God's cruel? I don't think God is cruel. I think he really does want to work in our lives. You know what? And I think sometimes the process that God takes us through is much more important than the prize on the other side. Did you know that? In that waiting, God is doing things in our lives. He's preparing our heart to receive what he has in store for us. And the process is much more valuable to him than sometimes the things that we want or that we desire. The believers that Peter writes to in 2 Peter 3:8 through 9 says, "Do not forget this one thing, dear friends, that with the Lord a day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promises, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but for everyone to come to repentance. Now, the context here is the second coming of Christ. And so some are saying, you know what? He hasn't come in the last 40 years, and so we don't know if he's going to come or not. And Peter says, hey, we're not operating on a human time schedule. We're on God's time schedule. And I think we need to understand that sometimes we want things right now, right? And God says, hey, be patient. I'm working on you, in you. And I'll be faithful. Trust me. That's a hard lesson for us. I don't know if patience is a strong masculine quality. I don't know if it's a strong human quality in us. But it is a fruit of the Spirit, right? If the Holy Spirit is within you, you're going to have, as Galatians says, Paul says, Galatians 5, 22 through 25, love, joy, forbearance, that's patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such, there is no law. Love, joy, peace, patience, right? Yeah. Regardless of who we are, what background, what upbringing, oh, I'm German, I'm Czech, right? I'm Irish, right? And we use those excuses, right? Right? But as God's people, his DNA is supposed to be within us, right? And that is the fruit of the Spirit. And patience is one of those things. Caleb demonstrated this, and he gives us hope, and it should inspire us to be more like Christ. To live by faith, not fear, to follow God with our whole heart, and to wait patiently for his promises. And lastly, his faithfulness, Caleb's faithfulness, led to a resilient life. There's been a lot of talk about resilience, especially since COVID. That term just seemed to kind of come to the forefront. It really means to bring back something to its original shape or condition. So you go out and you work really hard, you're exhausted and tired, and then you get some fluids, you rest, you get replenished, and you know what? Your strength returns, hopefully, right? Right? That is resiliency, to be able to bounce back to that original shape and condition that you once were in. When Pastor Dr. Brad Riddle was here in February, he came and spoke, and he used the illustration of the St. Louis Arch. Yeah, somebody remembered there. Yeah, because it's flexible, right? It blows in the wind, but it holds its shape because there's some flexibility built into that. There's some resiliency, and that's what we need in our lives as well. Caleb could have lost his faith in those 45 years in the wilderness, going round and round circles, kind of like, man, I think I've seen this before, right? Right? He could have lost his faith. He could have been saying, God, you know why? You know what? I was faithful, and I realized these people weren't, but I was faithful. Why do I have to go around with these other people 45 years? But he kept his faith. He remained faithful to God. And you know what? God blessed him. And I believe that when we are faithful to God, not only does he bless us in certain ways, but I believe he blesses us, our body, our soul, and our mind. Even though 45 years had passed, Caleb had not received his promise, but he still felt young and vibrant. 85. Now, I don't know. We have anybody 85 here? I don't think we do. Betty was 93. All right. 85. My folks are right at 87. My mom's 87. My dad is almost 87 here in a couple weeks. All right. So they're doing good, all right? But I don't know if they're ready to go out and do battle, okay? He's ready to go fishing, all right? He's ready to go fishing, but I don't know if he's ready to go out and do battle. But Caleb is saying, hey, man, I'm ready to go to battle. I'm ready to take the land that God gave me and promised to me 45 years ago. Isn't that crazy? I think God was blessing him with land and the promise, but even beyond that, I think it blessed his body, soul, and his mind. I think there was some supernatural stuff going on there that even though Caleb was 85, he had the body of a 40-year-old. How many would like that, right? I don't know if God can do that for all of us, but here's the deal. I believe that God, when we follow him wholeheartedly, He will bless our body, soul, and mind. I look at some of my classmates from way back when, and health-wise, I maybe have some issues, but I think I'm going to be, a lot of them have had some pretty significant issues, you know. I tell people my age and say, no, you can't be that old. You're too young. You're younger than that. I think God blesses your body, soul, and mind when you wholeheartedly follow him. Amen? Resiliency. My 20s and 30s, I was willing to take on bigger projects and challenges. So maybe you can relate to this. Why? Why was I willing to take on bigger projects and do greater things when I was in my 20s and 30s? Because I was young, right? I was naive. I didn't realize how hard something was. All of a sudden you do something one time, it's going, oh, wow, that's a lot of work. And so you count the cost a little bit more down the road. Secondly, I was younger. I recovered quickly, right? My body was able to, I go to the gym now and it's kind of like, man, you know, it used to kind of bother me the first couple times I lifted, I'd have soreness, but now it's kind of like every time I go to the gym, right? The older you get, the harder it is for your body to recover. I'm reading a book called From Strength to Strength. I'd recommend it if you're right at that 40, upper 30s, 40s. I'd recommend it. It's a pretty well-written book. But I read the first chapter, and it was depressing, but it was very accurate. But he just said, you know, in your 30s, in any kind of work environment, you get past your mid-30s, and you're already on the decline. All right? By age 40, you're definitely on the decline. Regardless if you're a teacher, think about athletes, right? Professional athletes, if they make it past 30, they're doing good. You got Brett Favre out there. I saw some good, you know, they kind of edited it. You know, he's really looking old out there. But I think he's going to be 43 if he actually gets out there and plays for, the Steelers? Not Brett Favre. Aaron Rodgers. Yeah, Aaron Rodgers. But in this book, Strength to Strength, he just says, you know, yeah, 30s and 40s. That is a good question. Just look it up on Amazon, From Strength to Strength. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So was Caleb unique? I think maybe. But I think God blessed him supernaturally as he was faithful to God. God blessed his body, his soul, and mind in a miraculous way, even though he was 85. I think God can help his people as we serve him faithfully. He's going to bless us in ways that are beyond us. He's going to give us health and energy beyond our years. And I'll take that. I'll take it. I'm going to have the musicians come. You know what? Maybe one day we're going to find that fountain of youth, right? I don't know. Science keeps finding things. Maybe one day we'll find that fountain of youth, right? That we'll never grow old. I kind of wonder if we'll ever get to that point or if Jesus will return before then, right? You know, I don't know if Caleb, if diet and exercise, maybe he was just really had a real good diet. Maybe he hit the gym quite often. I don't know. But we do know, we don't know any of that, right? We don't know his diet. What we do know is that he served God wholeheartedly. He didn't let fear dominate his life. He trusted in God. And he waited patiently for God. And God was faithful to him. He gave him the land that was promised to him, the land of Hebron. So when I make my trip to Israel, got the money saved, kind of. Now I just need to pray that things settle down over there, right? But one of the places I want to go to is Hebron. So that's the area that was given him. South of Jerusalem. There's trees there. The oaks, the trees of Hebron. Sounds like a beautiful place. But that was the area given to Caleb. I think he saw that and said, man, I want Hebron. And God gave it to him. Isn't that cool? Because he was faithful to God. He lived by faith. And he waited patiently for the gift that God had given him. Amen. Praise God. Would you all stand this morning? Amen. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. I'm going to lead us in a prayer of salvation. I just never know if somebody's here that just needs to affirm their faith and to know that they have the hope of salvation. So would you pray with me saying, Dear God, come into my heart and my life. Forgive me of all my sins. Cleanse me and purify me. Be the Lord of my life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And Lord, give us all the heart of Caleb to serve you with our whole heart, not just a half heart. To have faith even in the midst of the giants of our world. Lord God, and to demonstrate patience, Lord God, even when the answers and the promises are taking longer than we want. To not give up, to not quit believing, but to trust you all the more. Lord God, you are faithful, and you reward those who earnestly seek you. We ask in your name. Amen. Amen. May that be your song and your prayer. Amen. Father, we thank you that your goodness follows after us. I believe that was Caleb's song, that as he served you with all of his heart, body, mind, and soul, you were so faithful to him. And you gave him what had been promised to him, Lord God. And so, Lord God, go before us. Again, just your blessing upon fathers here today that are listening, that are here. Upon our families, Lord God, we need faith. We need families that are sold out for you, Lord. And Lord God, in this world, there's just a lot of things happening. Temptation, ways that we're being pulled away to this and that. But God, give us a heart that follows after you with our whole heart. We give you the thanks this day. Go with us. We pray. Bless our gatherings with family. We ask in your name. And everybody said, amen. Praise God. Hey, if you need prayer this morning, Christy and Gary, if you could hang out here for a few minutes if anybody wants prayer. And so if you're going to need prayer, and make it quick. I mean, come up so that they know. All right? God bless you this morning.